The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
So this time, it's not my fault because someone scheduled a 6 a.m. flight, right?
The driver's gone.
Somebody call the cops. We need to find that driver.
They could have killed someone.
Whose car is this?
Yeah, come on. Whoever did this, just confess. We promise we won't be mad.
Do you think you're leaving any mystery as to who that person is?
I know who he's talking about.
Well, close our eyes. Just take your car and get out of here.
Sir, that's clearly your car.
I have your wife's number. I would have called your wife.
Said. The person who booked the flight at 6 a.m.
I didn't say that.
This is shocking news.
Wait,
Angie's the one who booked this flight?
Oh my God. What happened here?
Yeah, we're all trying to find the guy who did this and give him a spanking.
It's obviously this guy, right?
Yes.
I have a name.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running her mouth, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it.
I thought it was pretty widely accepted that the Tua deal was about what we thought it was, and the Jordan Love deal was what we thought it was. Right?
I would agree.
It all kind of seemed to line up. It all seemed to kind of, you know, made sense, I would say. But apparently that's not the way everybody feels. Jeff Darlington, big guy. Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter, was on with our guy Evan Cohen and Michelle Smallman, Chris Canty on Unsportsmanlike this morning. And here is what he had to say. I was just floored that apparently not everybody thought, and everybody came to the same conclusion. Here's what he had to say about the Tua and Jordan Love deals.
Why is that same energy not existing for Jordan Love? Why are we sitting here saying that we are so comfortable and confident in Jordan Love as a franchise quarterback when we have seen so much less over the first 4 years of their careers? Jordan Love, the last pass that he threw last season was a terrible interception on first down to lose in a playoff game. If that was the same thing that Tua had done, we would be killing Tua all offseason. I'm just not understanding why it is so clear and obvious that we should be paying Jordan Love, but not Tua Tagovailoa.
Well, based on the poll we took yesterday, for 38% of the people aren't comfortable with it. So I don't know where he's getting his polls from.
Well, but I think the Packer fans would be even more uncomfortable if they were paying Tua. Right? Like, you would be more uncomfortable giving Tua $55 million.
Well, yes, because I think we know what Tua is.
Yeah.
I know what Tua is. He's good. He's never going to be great. I don't think we know what Jordan Love is. He could be average, or he could be great, or he could be just good. Right? Is that fair?
I think that's fair, but I think Tua has had a larger sample size, yes. And in that sample size, he's shown that, yes, he's probably more of an above average to good quarterback.
Yeah.
The heights we've seen from Jordan Love are a lot higher than the ones we've seen from Tua, right?
Yes, because Tua's offense this past year was pretty darn good. His receivers with Waddle and Hill, Gesick, who's their tight end?
It's not Jonnu Smith.
Never heard of him.
Are you talking about Mike Gesicki?
Yeah. That guy. Where'd he go?
Huh? I think he's on the Bengals.
I think so, yes.
But I mean, that is top three receiver combination in the league. They're essentially two ones,
if not top one.
I think they're top two and not two.
Well, I would would you put Chase and who's the other one?
Higgins,
or you would put Brown and Alabama at Philadelphia.
Devontae Smith.
Devontae Smith.
I would go Waddle Hill as the best wide receiver.
Really?
In the league. Yes.
Okay. So that's going to make a little bit of a difference.
Tyreek Hill. We were talking about potentially getting 2,000 yards last year. 2,000 yards. And Jalen Waddle was still also very productive.
I just think if you put Tua on the Packers offense last year as quarterback, he's not having nine-game stretch. I mean, he's not terrible, but you know what he is.
If you want to point to that last interception, yes. But, I mean, you also have to recognize that these guys are in different points of their careers.
Gabe, why didn't Tua throw an interception in a division game?
Because they didn't win their playoff game.
Oh, okay.
In fact, they only beat one team with a winning record last year, Joshy, and it was the Dallas Cowboys.
Oh, okay.
Late in the season, yeah.
All right, I was confused.
Well, and also, Tua's been playing. Jordan has not. Like, that was Jordan's first season as a starter.
Has Tua ever lost a division game?
No.
Oh.
No, hasn't.
Interesting.
But also,
does he have a point, though, on if Tua threw a pick in the divisional round to end the game, we would be more critical of him?
Oh, absolutely.
I think we'd be more critical of him because he's already played for
interception, if that specific interception happens 3 years from now and Jordan does the same thing, we are going to absolutely obliterate Jordan Love.
Yes.
We pretty much chalked it up to youth. And you get that. And yeah, I think you get that privilege as a quarterback. Because also earlier in the game, there was a throw where Jordan Love is rolling out to his left and just throws a dot 20 yards down the field while on the move, rolling not to his right, but to his left. He's able to flip his shoulders, flick the wrist, and it just flies out there. What's the best throw Tua has ever made? The ceiling. So in the 1 year that we've seen of Jordan Love, he has shown more potential than Tua, right?
Yeah.
Whether or not he fulfills all of the potential with all the great throws and everything he did great in the second half of the season, Tua's been consistent. Tua's had some good numbers. But I think there, like you said, there are limitations.
But the only thing we got to stop with is the Jordan Love's young. He's not young. He's not young. Going into your fifth year is not young.
Okay,
I don't care if you've played or
inexperienced.
Not played. You could use inexperienced. Not young.
Yeah,
he's not young.
Okay, so let's just use the words inexperienced because he's only played one season.
Sure.
And again, it's like because at least when you were young, you would still get some plays on occasion. It's just not how quarterback works.
No.
You know? Like, I think of Donald Driver, right? When Donald Driver was young.
Yeah, but it's
and
a
the
huge,
way they developed him.
Sure, that's a huge benefit. Nah, it's different. Because when you're a first-round pick sitting behind Aaron Rodgers, that is a huge benefit. Because you don't have the stress, you know you're not going to get cut, and you're learning from one of the best guys that ever played the game.
Yeah. Well, I'm just talking about from a playing,
Yes. He's wrong because there are people out there that are like, let's pump the brakes. He got this contract because that's what the market dictates.
Yeah.
And I'll say it. He doesn't deserve this contract. That's why he has to go out and prove himself. Prove that you're worth that. Can he do it? I have no idea.
Doesn't everybody making $55 million have to go out and prove?
I would think so.
Trevor, Joe Burrow. I mean, Joe Burrow's been to a Super Bowl, but he's got to prove he can stay healthy.
He's got to prove he can stay healthy, but we know that guy can play. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, you make it to a Super Bowl. That's
sure
pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Like Josh Allen? He's not that old. We know he can play.
He's in his 20s, yeah. But he's also been, he's 5-6 years in.
What about Hurts? Yeah, but Jordan is 5 years in. We can't keep calling him young, even though he only started for 1 year.
Yeah, but some of this is, and we saw this last year, too, a lot of the stuff you don't pick up. It's great to know conceptually, but you really don't know until you know, and you're actually in there, in the game, right?
Yeah.
There's probably a lot of stuff like that at quarterback. You get to the line of scrimmage and know, oh, yeah, I see this coverage. You're sitting in whatever meeting. You tell your positional coach, oh, yeah, in this coverage I check to X, Y, and Z play. A little bit different when, okay, you break the huddle, you get out there, play clock's running down. Can you have enough time to change the player? You're able to change the protection. There's a lot more going on, especially when you haven't played consistently for 3 years.
I look at C.J. Stroud a lot differently than I look at Jordan Love. You've been in there. You've been under the best quarterback that maybe ever played the game. You're learning from him.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, it's one thing to do it on the field, but you're gaining experience as you go. That's like when I started playing in my third year. Jackie Harris, very good tight end. Ed West learned a ton. I didn't get a lot of field time.
But you still got some.
But I wasn't getting a lot my first 2 years. Well, first year, none.
Yeah, you were hurt.
Second year, little. Third year, little more. But I look at C.J. Stroud as like, this guy's raw. Jordan Love is not raw. You're going into your fifth training camp. The excuses got to stop. There's no more. $55 million, you get no excuses.
Realistically, it's the fourth training camp, but.
Oh, because of COVID?
Because of COVID.
Okay. I ain't giving him a pass this year.
I mean, did you really give him a pass last year?
I don't think anyone's asked.
We were very patient with him.
But you had to be. It was
well,
the first
we had
year
to
starting.
Be, sure, sure.
Whoa. Were you patient? People were calling for the big red dog.
They were?
Yeah.
When?
2-5.
It's not real good.
When they couldn't move the ball against the Raiders.
Now this year, will you be impatient?
Even though they beat the Rams, everyone went,
yeah.
Probably should have beat them better than 20-3.
How many years do you want to give them?
Well, no, look, I'm not saying...
Does Darlington have any credence to what he's saying? Is basically what I'm asking you.
I don't get what he's saying, because I think that Jordan Love has just shown more.
I think people have a real hard time figuring out how Tua can put up those good of stats, and he isn't one of the best quarterbacks in the league. And as much as we always try and attribute things to the quarterback, he has a good offensive coordinator. He has extreme talent. We haven't even mentioned Raheem Mostert and
Let's
Devon
pump the brakes on that, too. Let's just pump the brakes on how great the coaches are in Miami. They've beaten nobody, okay? They lose big games. They stink in the playoffs. Let's pump the brakes there, too.
He can call a good play, though.
Yeah, all I'm talking about is the offense.
Yeah, he can rip grits on the sideline and get away with it, too, for a little while.
Which, again, for some people in this conversation, is a bonus.
Uh-huh.
I mean, why are we calling him great?
He's a great offensive coordinator. Their offense was one of the best offenses in the league last year.
But
they're a bad team.
Who would they beat?
Well, that's what he's saying. The offense is great. The team is bad. That's possible. I understand it's hard for you to comprehend because the teams that you played on had a great offense and a great defense. Turns out...
That's where men were men.
Turns out that's really hard to do.
So is he knocking Tua? No, is he knocking Jordan while trying to build up Tua?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. And I think people have a hard time...
Put it on...
Tua's not good.
Can we do it here? Because I think he's taking a shot at Green Bay fans on how they're a little toady, too.
Oh, man.
I mean, don't you think so?
He's speaking to a national audience.
Yeah.
There.
I think he's...
So would it be worth saying, who would you rather have right now moving forward? Tua or Jordan?
If you want to put it up there and have a poll come back at 95% of Jordan Love, we can do that.
Just do it nationally.
You can't vote if you're
if you want. Yeah,
if you live in the state.
I mean, if you want, we can try to get a hold of our friends on Sportsman. Like, maybe they would put up the poll for us since that's where this sound originated
from.
Well,
2.5 of us aren't toady. But I'd take Jordan Love all day long over Tua.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There isn't a person in the NFL who would.
Exactly.
Anybody who has a discerning eye for what they watch, Tua's good enough. He's a decent quarterback. He's never going to be the reason you win a Super Bowl. It's just not.
They have to have a real good defense, right?
Yes. Tua doesn't elevate his team. Jordan Love elevated his team many times last season.
I totally agree.
We'll see what Jason Wilde has to say about this. Plus, Chewy's got some questions about the kicking competition happening this training camp for Green Bay. Jason Wilde gives us the latest on that next. Jen gave it Chewy.
Ready? Down! Put!
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that This guy's on the field. He changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wilde on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
He is our friend. He is our teammate. He is Jason Wilde.
I just hung up on him.
You what?
I went to put him on hold, and I just hung up the phone, so I got to call him back.
Okay. Happens, Gabe. Well, better than a butt dial.
You wouldn't know, because you don't answer the phone. It's hard to, you know, hang up on somebody when you don't use the dialing function on your phone.
Yeah, but I had a butt dial yesterday.
Really?
And I heard the person talk. I just hung up.
Well, yeah, that's what you got to do.
Right. But in his defense, he's smart enough to know it was a butt dial. I got idiot friends that are like, what'd you want? Call me back. Self-awareness here, right?
Yeah, come on. Jason Wilde is back. Jason, good morning.
Speaking of getting hung up on.
I know.
Good morning, dudes. Is it a dude Tuesday?
It's a dude Tuesday.
Dude. Don't have many of those. Jason, who won the negotiation?
Well, of course, both sides won.
That's what it feels like to me, though.
It does. Like, here's the thing. So, and look, I've been saying this a couple times, and it's because it's true. Like, first of all, they were not going to be able to somehow strike some ridiculous below-market deal, right? Like, they weren't going to be able to say, hey, yeah, great second half of the season. I know prices are soaring for quarterbacks, but we're going to pay you the same amount as Daniel Jones because we think he's overpaid because he stinks, and we think all these other people are overpaid, and we're not going to overpay you. That wasn't an option, right? So I thought that it was really interesting where they wound up, but I know Rob Domofsky was telling us yesterday that the actual contract had not hit the NFLPA system yet, so he was waiting on that so he could get a closer look at just the details and more of the structure. But based on the reporting that we have, I think it's one of those rare instances where you can say this, because the Packers paid the going rate for their quarterback despite him not having a very thick resume. Okay, so in that way, Jordan Love won because he's got a second half of one season to work off of. He is in a unique position, and yet he got paid tied with the other two quarterbacks as the highest paid player.
Did you hang up on Jason again?
A huge win for him and David Mulugeta and Andrew Kessler. But, and I know you guys have talked about this, the guaranteed money is a huge win for the Packers. Like, the only quarterback of all these guys that got paid who got less guaranteed money, because the Daniel Jones is not part of this equation anymore, right? I mean, his contract has been blown out of the water with everything that has happened since. But of all these other guys that have gotten paid, Tua, Mahomes, Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Jalen Hurts, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, the only one who got less guaranteed money is Trevor Lawrence, who got 142. So, and then the Packers, in their way of compromising, gave another opportunity for Mulugeta to take a victory lap with the biggest signing bonus in NFL history. So 75 of the 155 in the form of the signing bonus. So he can say, hey, my guy's the tied for the top paid player, and he got the biggest signing bonus ever, and then he can whisper quietly, but we got less guaranteed money than almost all these other guys. And the Packers can say, hey, we managed to limit the guaranteed money to the degree that if, for some unknown, unseen reason, our guy's not as good as we think he is, then we can get out of this deal better than other teams can because of the amount of guaranteed money.
Some pretty high praise yesterday, Jason, from Adam Stenovich, saying that he thought that Josh Jacobs, A.J. Dillon, heck of a 1-2 punch. Pretty high praise for A.J. Mm-hmm. Dillon. Does that mean his roster spot is safe?
Well, it hasn't hurt that their third-round pick, Marshawn Lloyd, has not practiced yet. He's got a hip injury, so we don't know when he's going to practice. But as Chewy well knows, you know, this is all about opportunity and seizing it and being prepared when the opportunity comes. Look, when they signed A.J. Dillon, it was definitely not a contract that tells you he is going to be back, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But he came back in the, you know, and you hear this, I mean, you know, remember, I covered Chewy as a player. I heard plenty of players say, I'm in the best shape of my life.
I think Chewy's in the best shape of his life. Have you seen the size of his arms? Yes,
on the outside.
I did. I saw him yesterday. I saw him on one of your social media posts of the show yesterday, and I was like, oh, my God, what is... I mean, he's even bigger than the last time I saw him.
Well, you should, Jason.
I just saw him like 2 weeks ago.
I don't think we shared the photo publicly, but there is a photo of Chewy at a... There was like an 80s-themed costume party he was at a couple of weeks ago, and him and his wife went as Axl and Slash from Guns N' Roses, and Chewy is in a cutoff. Like, you can't see anything else in the picture. You're just mesmerized with how big his arms are.
It covered the gut up real well, Jason.
So wait, were you Axl? Because he was kind of a scrawny.
Yeah,
were
I couldn't you... get scrawny. I tried dehydrating Frank's way. Didn't work. Jason, what's the status of the kicking competition?
All right, if I may, I'm gonna just go back to the right back thing.
Okay.
A little bit derailed by Axl Rose.
Yes, enough about me.
I think A.J. Dillon is legitimately in the best shape of his career. He went from 252 pounds and 8% body fat, 245 pounds and 5% body fat. If you watch practice, he is noticeably more explosive to holes in the offensive line. He's just got a different level of energy about him. Now, look, that does not necessarily guarantee anything. And when you look at what he did last year, in the six games that Aaron Jones missed, he started all six, and he averaged 3.4 yards per carry. He had like 335 rushing yards and one touchdown in those six games. Like, he wasn't good enough. He had opportunity in 2022. He had opportunity last year. He had opportunity in 2021 when they were, you know, I think they were hoping he would seize that starting job during the course of the 21 season, and they'd move on from Aaron Jones after 21. Remember that? Mm-hmm. And that didn't happen. So, you know, I don't want to get too over my skis about a week of training camp practices, but he looks like a different player. And so he deserves a ton of credit for that. And so I do think that has changed the narrative in a huge way. I don't think Adam Stenovich was talking about what a 1-2 punch those two guys could be when we, like, talked to him in May or June. So that is a change. Now, as far as the kicking competition, you know, look, I think James Turner is clearly the third guy out of the three. And I think at some point here, there's a chance if some injuries start to hit during week two of camp here, they may trim it down to two, because Anders Carlson and Greg Joseph have been better than Turner has been. Now, that said, you know, each of them missed a kick at the end of a two-minute drill on, what day is today, Tuesday? Sunday. And I think the concern that I would have about Anders is that, kind of like last season, Anders got off to a very, very good start. He made his first 11 kicks in live periods, and then he missed his last one on Saturday, and then on Sunday he, you know, missed, I think, two total. And again, that doesn't mean that he's suddenly not accurate, but those two guys are neck and neck in terms of what they've made during live periods. They are tied because I think they're kind of the same guy. Like, both of them kicked in the league. Joseph has obviously kicked longer. He's got a few more game-winning kicks than Anders Carlson does. But their percentages last season Like, the Vikings didn't keep him, and the Packers brought in competition for their guy because they basically kicked the same accuracy. Anders was a little bit worse. And so I don't think that – it's not like Ryan Longwell has walked through that door, Chewy, and you're like, okay, this guy's going to be our guy. He's clearly better than everybody else. There's just – this is very much still a competition.
Jason, appreciate the time. Look forward to talking to you at 9 a.m. today as I fill in for Tausch.
Yeah, it's a good thing you're keeping this segment short since you got 3 hours to deal with me from 9 to noon. So good call. That's why you're a pro. That's why you do national shows. All right, guys, take care. Be good.
Jason Wilde joins us three times a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. The reason why we are breaking is because Adam Schefter, usually on Wednesdays, joins us. Coming up next, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Everyone's go-to source for all NFL news.
Adam Schefter teased some big breaking news. Adam, you've told us about it. What do we got?
Adam's on the phone. Adam,
yeah, some more
Adam, yeah, you got more news? What do you got?
They're going with another move.
And he was the man who knows all, Adam Schefter.
And we're going to get right to some breaking news here that just came down. This tweet from Adam Schefter.
It's ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter.
It'll be up to Russ Ball to see if he can get this deal done, wants to get it done. Don't think that they're anywhere close to getting it done right now. And those are conversations that all occur here.
Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is presented by Orthopedic Associates of Wisconsin. There is a difference. Also sponsored by Island Resort and Casino.
Always excited to talk to our pal, Adam Schefter. Most of the time, I'm usually excited to talk to him about golf. But we do have some bigger pressing issues to get to today, like that big deal Jordan Love signed on Friday. Adam, thanks for jumping on, man. Always good to see you.
Well, Gabe, the good news is, I know we're doing it today, but with Jen gone, we can do a lot of golf today.
Isn't golf over, though? Issue.
We got the Olympics.
No, Olympic golf this week. Yep, Olympic golf okay. This week. Yep, before we get to the Wyndham, and then... we get the Wyndham. We get the BMW coming up.
Yeah, Shefty's got the whole schedule down, Chew. It's awesome. But we can get to that later because Jordan Love signed the extension 4 years, $220 million, $75 million signing bonus. What do you think ultimately pushed this thing across the finish line after Love missed 4 days of practice during training camp?
I think there are a couple of things. I think that, number one, the big factor, believe it or not, is that they have a padded practice on Saturday, and that team wants him out there. They don't want to start going through drills without their quarterback. And let's be honest, we know where the number is going to come in. We've been saying on this show for weeks now, once that Trevor Lawrence deal was done, that the Packers before could argue, hey, we don't think that you should be paid what Joe Burrow is making at $55 million a year. But once Trevor Lawrence hits that threshold and that mark, then the Packers' argument loses a little bit of steam there. And so if Trevor Lawrence is getting 55, you can justify 55 for Jordan Love. And I think that's what happens there, where basically, okay, we know what the numbers are. I think it was going to be a four-year deal all along. So I don't think that was the final breakthrough where Green Bay is like, okay, we'll go shorter on the years. I don't think that was the case. I just think that they're working through it. They're close, and it's time. It's go time to get some of that language done, to nail down some of the logistics on the guarantees, and then get it done in time to have them out there for the first full padded practice Saturday. And they were able to do all those things again. It's not like they were starting from scratch. It's not like there wasn't a roadmap. It's not like they hadn't made any progress. It's not like they weren't close to a deal all along. So all those things together, in the end, ultimately, and then two of this deal gets done Friday too, which gives you even more clarity. So what are we waiting for? And they finished it off hours after two of his deal.
Who do you think won the negotiation, Adam? Or was it a push?
That's a hard question to answer. I would say... look, there's a win there in each, right? Mm-hmm. If you're the Packers, you get Jordan Love done before Dak Prescott gets done. Like, I wouldn't want to be doing Jordan Love's deal next year. By the way, if Jordan Love plays this season the way he did in the second half of the year in the postseason and Dak gets his deal done, then we're looking at a number that's going to be way over what he's paying him. But on the other hand, they're already paying him at a top level right now. So There's a win for Jordan Love. Look, that's the idea of a deal. Each side gets wins, right? They have Jordan Love under contract for the next 5 years, which seems to be a high number. But here's the other thing. This is such a young roster. They don't have to pay a ton of offensive weapons right now yet. And so while that's the case, let's get this deal in the books. Let's get it done the way we want, structure it, and we can grow with some of our other young players. If you're Jordan Love, you're banking all that guaranteed money. You're set. You're set for life. You were set anyway. So, again, I think both sides wins. Both sides win. And then again, they do this again, hopefully, for both sides' sake, in 2027-28 when his next deal is up, when he's going to be 30 years old at that point in time.
So, Adam, your colleague, Jeff Darlington, went on some airways and basically said, fans, not just
like he was unsportsmanlike.
Okay, not, and I don't know if you heard it, but he was saying fans in general are too critical of Tua and sing too much praise for Love. Is that fair?
Well, I think what Jeff was referring to is this: these two guys were in the same draft class. Tua Tagovailoa was the fourth overall pick or fifth overall pick. And Jordan Love went later in that same draft. And really, if you look at their numbers, they're probably pretty similar. In fact, Tua probably has outproduced Love with the exception of the way that Love finished last year. And yet, how is it that Love's numbers came in higher than Tua's numbers? Like, what is the difference? Why would they come in higher than Tua's? And I think it's a case where, you know, people have this perception of injuries with Tua, which is fair. I mean, he's missed a lot of time in college and in the pros, had some concussions, which I think worked against him here. They're two strong deals for two great players. But I just think that I don't know if that's the case. Look, it's a function of how your season finishes. Our last memory of Tua is going into Kansas City and getting shut down. Our last memory of Love is beating Dallas on the road and then nearly beating San Francisco. And I know Love threw two picks, I believe it was, or turned over the football in the fourth quarter, second half, against San Francisco. And so he didn't take care of the football when he needed to. But he still played exceptionally well in the playoffs. He still had that team in position to get to the NFC Championship game. And your memories from the postseason of Jordan Love are fresher and better than they are of Tua, so you're going to get more praise for Jordan Love than you would for Tua, in my mind.
I think one thing fans are still, even though they've kind of accepted and realized that Jordan Love is going to be getting $55 million per year, that's still an incredibly high number, and those numbers are just going to continue to go up for quarterbacks. But this isn't really a new issue, right? As long as the salary cap continues to go up, quarterbacks are going to get their share. It's always about, yes, it's easy to kind of fixate, Adam, I think, on, oh, 55. Maybe Dak gets 60. I know Bill Barnwell had a piece out there saying maybe Brock Purdy gets $65 million when it's time to pay him. But it's always about a percentage of the cap, right? Like teams budget.
Not always. I mean, yeah, you know what quarterbacks are going to make, and they have a higher percentage of the cap than everybody. And typically, it's been, 12, 13, 14% of the cap. And I've had some agents say to me that they'd like to set up deals where quarterbacks are making a certain percentage of the cap, not a number. I kind of like that idea, actually, where instead of saying Jordan Love's average annual salary is $55 million, that he makes, argument's sake, 14% of whatever the salary cap is every year. Like, if you're a superstar, and you're there's a quarterback, I think, one day that's going to argue for that and maybe in a position to get that. By the way, maybe that's Dak when he becomes a free agent after this year and you're on a scaled contract that adjusts to the salary cap. Again, we'll see how that works out. Dak is going to have unprecedented leverage to get and do things that he wants. So if anybody can help reset that market, it would be Dak Prescott, I believe.
Adam, and I know it's the Jets, but there's been two instances this past week where Rodgers was was John with Wilson, and then they had a terrible practice where he was livid. Does Salah have control of this team? I mean, it just looks bad. I mean, it was like 2 days later, Rodgers is going off again at the team. It's just doesn't feel like he has control of this team.
Now, again, I would turn that question to you, Chewy, because you would be better qualified to answer that than me. If you're a player on that team and you've been a player, that's how you're looking at that situation?
Well,
you're looking at this saying...
I'll explain it to Mike, because you have heated conversations like that, and I know when I played, there were no cell phone cameras or anything like that, so they pick up everything, and you have arguments like that. But when you're a quarterback, and I'll tell you this with Brett, Adam, Brett would rarely, and I'm talking in my day, I don't know what happened after, he wouldn't yell at you for doing something running a wrong route, because he knew he was going to throw an interception at some point in time. And then I would be justified in going after him. So he was smart enough to know that would turn into a mess. I just think with Rodgers, whether right or wrong, people are getting sick of his shtick. No one likes to get yelled at.
I saw people making something of him and Garrett Wilson on the side. I didn't take it the way the people did. Like, people were said that they were jawing at each other. I didn't see it that way. Was there another incident?
Well, he went off there in practice because one of the practices were so sloppy, and he's screaming at guys. Quarterbacks.
Again, I guess my thing would be this, that I believe, right or wrong, that Aaron Rodgers has probably got more respect than just about anybody there, and that guys are going to listen to him, and he feels like it's on him to set a tone, to set an example, to set the expectations of what's realistic for that team. And so he has to do that on the offensive side of the football sometimes. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think that the quarterback is such a leader. And with him being who he is, he's in an even elevated position.
Yeah, now, but what's going to rub guys the wrong way is when these quarterbacks are making $70 million a year and I'm a starting right guard making $6 million a year.
Mm-hmm.
Guy, you're not happy for your guy there. You're really not. And it gets to a point where, like, this is ridiculous. The amount of money these guys are, they don't practice. They wear red jerseys, you know.
Right.
They're Brad Pitts of the industry, and I'm working just as damn hard as him. And I don't want him yelling at me because there is resentment in the locker room. You resent. And I only see it getting worse the higher these salaries go for quarterbacks.
And that was one of the things, again, speaks to you, that made Brett great, right? He was ingratiated with everybody there, right? I mean, the offensive line, you guys, am I correct?
Yeah, no, totally, Adam.
Right? And so I remember back in Denver when I covered the Broncos, John Elway was always going out with the offensive linemen, taking them out. Like, and those were his closest friends on the team. And so, you know, what's interesting to me also is Aaron Rodgers is 40 years old. You know, there's a huge age difference between him and some of these younger guys. And the older you get, to me, the more accentuated it becomes. And the fewer things, the fewer ways there are to connect. So that's part of the challenge here is making sure that everybody is gelling together, coming together, being together. And what you're saying is when he acts like that, which I didn't see, so I can't speak to it exactly, but if he's calling out people and yelling out, if that is indeed the case, then that's counterproductive to some of the efforts that a quarterback should be mounting. And again, I just think that, you know, Aaron's smart enough to figure out. He knows what's necessary and what's not. You may not like it or like it. If he's doing that every day.
Yeah, then it's a turnoff.
It's a problem.
I agree.
But if there are isolated examples.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it was justified. I don't know that. And so, you know, I'm going out there Saturday. I'm going to watch their prep, whatever. We'll see what I observe in one day. But if I see him chewing out everybody and people turning their heads, I'm going to be like, Chewy. Oh, Chewy was onto something there. Yeah. Like, you know, we'll see how that goes on Saturday when I'm there.
Yeah, we've got a Chewy is right button that we've kind of put on ice because he thought the Aaron Rodgers deal was going to be done last Monday, and then it took till
Jordan
Friday.
Love, yeah.
Oh yeah, that's what I mean. The Jordan Love deal.
Yeah.
So Adam, are you excited for Olympic golf? I mean, it's tough now. Training camps are open. You mentioned you're going to Jets camp. You're a little busier now than you were during the regular golf season.
Yeah, let me say this, that if we don't make a pick in our weekly pool, there are 3 weeks left, three tournaments left, which it actually works out perfect, right? Because by the time football rolls around, my golf pool is over. I'm just telling you that in the final 3 weeks, if the golfer that I pick is in a golf tournament, I won't miss a shot that he hits.
Yes.
Okay, I don't care what's going on. That won't happen. I am fully dedicated to watching my guys in golf at all times, as long as I am in contention in that pool. That's the way it kind of operates.
That's why I respect you, Adam. That's why I respect you.
We are committed. We are well. You know what it is? It's I do love golf, but I think I love the competition. And,
okay.
And it's not like you know they say the money. Like you win a little bit of money, but it's not that. It's the I want to beat. I want to finish first in this pool. There are 30 teams, and it's a season long thing. I won it once before a few years ago. I want to win. I like to win.
What position are you in right now?
We are in in the overall pool. We are in there because there's a first half, an overall, and a second half.
Okay.
Overall, we are in fourth place, 2.8 million points behind. So the chances are we're not going to win the overall. Like that's
okay, you got to get high.
How often do you play golf?
I play golf probably in the off season. Once we get past the draft, probably 7-8 times between May 1st and July 15th.
And yet you're about such
seven,
a diehard. Gabe does that in a week.
Well,
I'm about to do that in a week here.
And then the clubs go away. They go away like. You know, August 1st, I will play. I'm taking a few producers from ESPN out next week, one morning. That'll be my last round till next May.
Wow.
Well, Adam, we always appreciate the time. We always appreciate the insights.
But by the way.
Yeah.
So by the way, 2.8 million points behind on the overall. We are in second place in the second half pool.
Okay.
600,000 behind.
Okay, so that's realistic. Like, you could win the second half.
Could definitely win the second half, but we still need a winner here in the final three tournaments after the Olympics, which is the Wyndham, the BMW. There's one other tournament. Anyway, there's three tournaments. I got to find a winner in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah, it's the FedEx, the St. Jude FedEx.
FedEx. Yes, FedEx. And right, exactly. Wyndham, FedEx, BMW. That's exactly right. And we had Patrick Cantlay in reserve for the FedEx.
Oh, yeah, because he always plays well in the playoffs.
Memphis,
That's smart. This is a guy who's planning all this out ahead. Take some notes from Adam Schefter when it comes to, and again, for your own fantasy football. He's planning ahead. Plan ahead in your own fantasy drafts as well. Adam, always appreciate it, buddy. Look forward to talking to you next week.
Gabe and Chewy, thank you very much. Appreciate you having me. Have a great week. We'll talk next week.
ESPN NFL insider Adam Schefter joins us once a week here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. And he's always brought to us by our friends at the Island Resort and Casino. We were just talking about me playing, you know, 8 rounds of golf in 1 week. Well, that's going to be part of it. I'm going up there next week and cannot wait. Leave on Sunday. The Island Resort and Casino, premier resort destination. It's the largest north of Milwaukee with everything you like to do in one awesome location, like the great golf they have. Visit islandresortandcasino.com and book your total experience today.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Any of those things because it exceeds... It's like, I'm sorry, I'm burping up my apple right there. That's what that was. I wasn't pausing for effect. I literally was burping
my
apple.
Can we just go to break?
No.
On 94.5 ESPN.
I think Packers fans were excited to have Jeff Bafley as their defensive coordinator. But based on this sound yesterday, it sounds like Jeff Hafley was also excited to get out of Boston College because...
What?
Well, listen to what he had to say his first week in training camp with the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, I mean, the first time I opened the door and I just saw all those people, I felt like it was game day. I had no idea what was going on. And then all the kids with the bikes, I think that's so cool. I mean, the kids were lining up with their bikes. I mean, people asking for autographs. Every day you walk through, and it feels like game day. And then you walk, and It's a sellout practice, and there's people in the stands. Shoot, I left last night late, and I think people were tailgating in our parking lot at 9 o'clock at night. We ended practice at like 12:15. I mean, there was people tailgating in our parking lot at 9 o'clock at night on a Sunday. Practice had been over for 6 hours. People were asking for autographs and running around. And I mean, so yeah, I'm really excited for family night. I don't think I have any clue what that's going to be like. But how awesome are the fans here? I mean, showing up like that and loving the team so much. Where else in the world does that happen? So I love it. It's awesome. And the players love it. Think about all the energy it brings. Every single day they run out and the fans are standing up and clapping and cheering. And I mean, it is a great place.
Couple thousand fans showing up for practice. Feels like game day at Boston College, apparently.
Yeah, about 18 of them. Tailgating 6 hours after the game? Yeah, that's normal. We'll figure that out through the season. Shocking.
But yeah, he seems really excited. Again, this is all practice. This is something he's never had to deal with before because, again, as the head coach at BC, he had a hard time getting people to show up for the game.
You know what's the Packers?
Are you ready to upgrade?
The organization doesn't get credit for? Because now not riding the bikes.
Yeah.
But everyone's practices are pretty full.
Sure.
That never happened back in the day. They just have smatterings. Now they set up like stadiums like mm-hmm. Green Bay does.
Yeah, they've got the mini kind of stands.
Yeah.
Joshua, you were up there. I have not been up there for a practice since they made the additions. What is that, Nitschke on the other side of the Don Hutson Center where they've got like the seating for everybody and everybody kind of sets up there. It's really cool the way they've set it up.
Yeah, I mean, an entire side of the field is filled with bleachers. So, I mean, it's probably only like 10 rows maybe, like up and down. But, like, we had to wait to get in. We didn't get there early, and they were at capacity. So we, with, like, probably 100 other people, were just waiting to get in to watch practice.
Do they even practice on the Oneida side? I don't know what field that is. Is that Nitschke or Hinkle? That's Hinkle Field? Do they even practice on that anymore?
I don't know.
I think they might, like, not during training camp, the open to the fan ones.
Yeah.
Because the Oneida side is where it used to be, and they would just, like, put, like, those old wood bleachers out on the sidewalk.
But it was nice because it was grass, because when you play on field turf,
yeah,
your backs get sore.
Oh, I'm sure. But I think they practice. I think that's all fenced off, and they practice. They might practice there on occasion in season.
Okay, because, so they save it.
Yeah, because
gotcha.
Because again, practice has gotten so big, and if you have practices that are open to the public,
yeah,
like that's the place to do it because you actually have the seating and the ability to host people.
Yeah, but the fence line to Hinkle is huge. It's probably like 300 yards long.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I love that field. That field was great.
I mean, they've redone it a time or two since you've been up there.
Have they?
Yeah.
Mike Grass would give them a run for their money.
Oh, I'm sure it would.
It
surprised,
would.
I mean,
surprised they haven't tried to hire him.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But you'd be too expensive. It's too far away. They'd have to helicopter you in because you're not driving that far.
All I want to do is drive the one Bobcat with the hose attached to it to get the dew off the grass. They do that in golf too. There's a science to that, Gabe. It's not as easy as it looks.
I love how your bucket list. I have items. All has to do with things with riding heavy machinery around lawn
care. If they let me stripe the field, I'm up there. Wood paint.
All right. We might hold you to that.
They don't even have to pay me. Maybe okay, just give me a bologna sandwich or something.
That's not true. They would have to pay you. There is no way your wife would let you do something like that without getting paid.
Oh, the equipment. I'll barter. How's that?
now you're just taking plays on the Blammer playbook.
Yeah.
Back in 2 minutes with more Inside Training Camp. Jen, give me Chewy.